Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text comes from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for the testimony of your eyewitnesses, your disciples, and the revealing of your glory to them that they might pass on to us that you are the Son of God. Pray that you would reveal that to us once again, encourage and strengthen our faith, that it might be in you alone till the day that we see you face to face. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So who likes to watch movie previews? Anybody like to watch movie previews? I don't know. Usually when you get DVDs, you just kind of want to fast forward to the previews and go to the title menu, you know. Maybe in the movie theater, though, maybe you would want to watch the movie theater previews about the ones that are coming up, maybe because you haven't seen them before. Sometimes I'm intrigued by some of those previews in the theaters. And a lot of times they don't really intrigue me that much. But once in a while you see something that just catches your eye and it's like, oh, I can't wait to see that movie. It's just going to be great. Because the preview is so great. But when you see the movie, it can range from anywhere to totally bombing or to blowing you away, right? The reason why I mention that is 2 Peter is written, mainly it's written to encourage the Christians to hold fast to the faith because Christ is coming soon. But it also is written as a warning against false teachers that were present at the time and telling us that there will always be false teachers that will come and try to pervert the truth about Jesus and who he is. And false teaching is kind of like a really good preview that turns out to bomb. Something that really looks good and seems good and promises a lot of great stuff, but then when you put your trust in it, it just turns out to disappoint you in the end. But you see, the wonderful thing about Jesus is that what is coming in the end is even greater than the preview. Even greater than you could imagine. Remember, first time I saw the preview for The Lord of the Rings, I was pretty excited to see that movie. Now I guess it's almost 10 years ago now. But remember when I saw it, I was blown away. It was even better than I thought it would be. You see, in the story of the Transfiguration, we see that as amazing as it was for Peter and James and John, it will be even more amazing for us to see the Lord when he returns. And so, the point today is to continue to trust in Jesus and to continue to trust in his word. Because we know that it is confirmed through his word that he's the Son of God. And what he came here to do, to suffer and die for our sins and to rise again. And now he is in glory everlasting. So in the Transfiguration account, we get a glimpse of that glory. And yet, I think when we read the story, we probably wonder about how amazing it would be to be there. And why do Peter and James and John get this experience, but we do not? Why can't we have an experience like that? Do you think maybe, well, if I just saw something like that, then I would know for certain that this really is the Lord? Surprisingly enough, Peter doesn't simply point his readers to look at the Transfiguration account, he says, no, what we have, something more sure. What I really want to remind you of is the prophetic word there in verse 19. To which you will do well to pay attention to as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns. The morning star rises in your hearts until Jesus returns. It won't be those ultimate high spiritual times. It won't be those ultimate high religious experiences that we have that are going to sustain us in the faith until Jesus returns. It's going to be the Word of God doing its work in us. We might think, oh, we need that to know for certain that Jesus is real. But again, Peter says, oh, it's through the Word that we know it's real. I was an eyewitness. I was there on the mountain. I heard the voice of the Father. But for you, you have the Word. And why does he put such confidence in the Word? Well, he says in verse 20, knowing that, first of all, no prophecy came from someone's interpretation or through the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. If you think how amazing it would be to hear that voice of the Father booming from the clouds that this is the beloved Son. And yet God has given us His Word. His voice speaks to us in His written Word. It's there before us for us to hear, for us to listen. It's through here that Jesus talks to us and gives us words that we can trust about our origins, about our life, about our meaning, and about our future. As Peter says in verse 16, we didn't follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of Jesus. We didn't just make this stuff up. He mentions interpretation not meaning that you shouldn't try to interpret the scriptures, but that this story about Jesus didn't come from someone's manufactured ideas in their hearts. It came from the Holy Spirit. It came from God Himself. So we didn't follow cleverly devised myths, really just a human manufactured way of understanding reality. It's usually not based on any facts or little facts. How easy it is for us to be led astray by these things when we're not in the Word. Our Bible study we're looking at, you know, the creation account, comparing that with the evolution account. We see just how easy it is our culture has accepted evolution as true, that we came from a primordial mess of chemicals and have evolved somehow into these high species called human beings, and that our purpose really is nothing but to have fun and then die. All started from a study in 1858 by Charles Darwin, where he saw beaks of a bird grow longer. From that, we have the whole theory of evolution. A cleverly devised myth. Convenience, where I have no accountability, no authority over my life. I'm free to do what I want. In 2 Timothy, it says the time will come when people will abandon sound doctrine and have turned instead to what their itching ears want to hear. That our sinful nature has that desire to want to cling to what's wrong. It does not want to acknowledge that it's sinful. It does not want to acknowledge a Lord and a Savior. We see these myths all around us, not just in evolution, but in all the different religions. Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Judaism. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, all of it diverts the true nature of who really Jesus is. As appealing as it sounds, as much research as it might have, as many good stories that it might have, as much as it appeals to our logic or what we really desire, in the end, it's just another bad story. And it's just another bad preview. It's going to disappoint in the end. But it says, the Word is the light that guides us. It's the lamp shining in the dark place. For all of our research, for all of our scientific achievement, have we really evolved spiritually? Have we really grown mature spiritually, or do we still struggle with the same problems that we did at the beginning of creation when we fell into sin? We still struggle with selfishness. We still struggle with not loving our enemies. We still struggle with not loving other people. We still struggle with wanting to be the authority in our lives. We're still restless until we rest in God. Yes, we might have found ways to do things quicker, ways to travel faster, and to see more. But what has it really taught us about why we are here? Is the time we spend really quality time following the Lord, or is it simply the pursuit of what we want? And we still struggle with the same things. And that's why we still need the same source of truth. We still need the Scriptures. They alone are what's going to endure and what's going to last. Interesting thing about this is Peter is writing this letter, and he's probably going to be dying soon. Just earlier in our reading in chapter 1, he says, the Lord told me that I'm going to be leaving this body soon to go be with Him. So this is kind of like his last will and testament. He knows he is going to die. So what does he want to do? He wants to point his readers, the believers, to something that's going to endure forever. That's going to be their lamp in the dark world. Not because of his experience, not because of his clever myth, but because what he's pointing to is what God has spoken and carried by the Spirit. And that's what we really mean by prophets. You know, prophecy comes from someone's interpretation. A true prophet is really someone who speaks for God. That's all it is. There's many people that claim to say God says and God promises this or that. But are they really pointing to the Scriptures and what they're saying? Or are they pointing to what they want? Are they pointing to who Jesus really is? So what we can take away from this is that we don't need to see Jesus in the flesh. We don't need to see a miracle. We don't need to have a high religious experience. We don't need to have that one question answered that we can't figure out. All we need to know is what the Word tells us. Jesus is the Son of God and Savior of the world. And that through His Word, He's going to encourage us to stay strong in that faith. And it's through that Word that we know that He exchanged all of that glory to become nothing, to become a servant, to suffer and die, and rather to be glorified on a cross, so that we could share in that glory one day. So let this experience of Peter and James and John, that is so marvelous, that this experience of Exodus, where they went up on the mountain of God and saw him, that this too will be our experience. The day Jesus returns, for the day we leave this world. Finally, Jesus says, "Tell no one this vision of the transfiguration until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." Well, for us, that has happened. For us, we don't need to be ashamed of what we heard here or what we read here. We can know for certain that God wants us to share with one another and the people that we know that he is the Lord, Savior of all. It's his name that we pray. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus, our only Lord and Savior. Amen.